WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. Glad to have you with us today. And if you're wondering where that greeting came from, you may be part of the increasingly tiny Netflix subscribership that hasn't yet been consumed by Tiger King mania. To introduce the Tiger King, I'll use the words of my next guest, podcast host Robert Moore, who wrote a 10,000-word story for New York Magazine about the Tiger King, a man who calls himself Joe Exotic. Quote, Joe was born with an unusual last name, rough on the tongue, Schreivogel, I can barely say it. People were always getting it wrong or using it against him, so he changed it and changed it again until he finally slipped free of it altogether. Over the years, as he amassed a string of husbands, he borrowed their last names, calling himself Joe Maldonado, then Joe Passage. And when he did magic shows, he sometimes went by Aaron, Alex, or Cody Ryan. When he was filming his reality show, he called himself the Tiger King, but the name he was best known by as a zookeeper, country music singer, stunt politician, and amorphous internet celebrity was Joe Exotic. And in the last couple of weeks, that name has become a household one, thanks largely to the wild Netflix docuseries Tiger King Murder, Mayhem, and Madness, which focuses on the zookeeper and his feud with a big cat sanctuary owner named Carol Baskins. She is the source of that cats and kittens line from before. That's how she starts all her online videos. The series has been the focus of a lot of sudden mass interest in the Tiger King, but it's not the only place where this story is being told, or even the first time it's been told. Author and freelance journalist Robert Moore has been tailing the Tiger King since all the way back in 2015. In September of last year, New York Magazine published an extensive profile of Joe Exotic and his feud with Baskin that Moore wrote. Now, Moore is the host of the second season of the Wondery podcast, Over My Dead Body, which is also called Joe Exotic Tiger King, and is currently being developed into its own limited series by SNL's Kate McKinnon. Robert Moore joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Robert. Welcome to All of It.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Allison.
Yeah, no problem. Listeners, for fun, if you've watched the series or listened to the podcast, let us know who would be your ideal casting in a limited series that we know is coming. Tweet it at All of It WNYC or comment on our segment page at WNYC.org. We love the idea of casting Tiger King. I'm going to get your opinions on that in a little bit, Robert. But I wonder, how did you come across Joe Exotic and the story back in 2015?
Yeah, so I had just finished my first book. It was called On Trails, and I was kind of casting around for some magazine stories to write in the interim before I started my next book. And, you know, as magazine writers do, you're just reading the news and something catches your eye. So there was a story that was, I think it said, Michael Jackson's alligators burned alive in animal park fire, something like that. And I thought, well, that's an odd combination of words. So I clicked on it, and I read the story, and it mentioned that the zoo was owned by a guy named Joe Exotic. And I Googled Joe and kind of fell down the rabbit hole, as everyone now has. So I pitched it to an editor at a big magazine. He said, yeah, go down there, scope it out. I went down, and I lived in a trailer at Joe's zoo for a week. He actually gave me a trailer to live in, and I just tailed him from morning till night for five full days. And as that week wore on, he started to open up to me about his feud with Carol Baskin and his really intense hatred for Carol Baskin. I mean, one night over dinner, he said that if he had 2 months left to live, his doctors, he believed, basically he was lying about having cancer, but he said, if my doctors give me 2 months to live, I'm going to go kill Carol Baskin. He said, I have an AR-15, a white AR-15 set aside for that task. Said, I never used to dream about seeing someone's brains on a wall. He described how he's going to mutilate her body. I mean, really awful stuff. And the craziest thing is, this was all on the record. I had a recorder, and if you listen to the podcast, you can hear it in the first episode. I said, Joe, you know, this is on the record. What are you doing? And he said, I don't care. She has drove me to that point. So from that point on, I knew there was a great story here, but there was really not much of a shape to the story, and the magazine ended up killing it. It was just this story of this odd guy in Oklahoma. So I continued to pursue it over the years. I visited Howard and Carol many times at their place in Tampa. I went back to the zoo in 2017 and then two more times. And then once Joe was arrested, I talked to him many, many times from jail and interviewed, you know, almost 100 people involved with this story, either on Joe's side or Carol's.
All right. So for people who aren't really familiar with the story, let's try to put it together for them. So how would you describe Joe and his quote-unquote zoo?
Yeah, so it's not like most zoos that your listeners are probably familiar with, because, you know, if you've gone to the Bronx Zoo or the San Diego Zoo, it's not like that. It is a roadside zoo. And what that means is when you walk in the door, there's just rows and rows and rows of steel cages, like you know, in a cartoon or something. I mean, I'd never seen anything like it. And most of those cages are filled with tigers, because Joe was breeding tigers so that people could pet the cubs. He made a lot of money doing cub petting. But his real passion was for hybridizing tigers and lions to create ligers. And then he would breed the ligers with tigers and lions to create Thai ligers and Lai ligers and Thai ligers and all these strange hybrids that basically don't exist anywhere else on Earth. So you walked in there and it was very surreal, because Joe was there. You know, he's this larger-than-life personality. The gift shop was full of Joe Exotic merchandise, candy, condoms, you know, T-shirts, everything you can imagine, massage oil, all had his face on it. There's a TV in the corner playing his country music videos of him supposedly singing these songs. And then Joe walks in the door, and he's got a camera crew with him. So it was all really strange, and it was this, like, pseudo-reality of Joe's creation. Anyone who walked through the doors, I think, was kind of baffled by the whole experience.
And he just has an interesting look, we'll say. It's kind of a mullet with like old school, like 1970s sun in the front, because he's sort of bleach blonde there, various piercings. Sometimes he's got a gun, sometimes not.
Yeah.
What am I meant? Polyester, brightly colored and spangly shirts.
And he's got tattooed eyeliner around his eyes. In one draft, I believe I described it as if an emaciated dog, the bounty hunter, had swapped eyelids with Lucille Bluth. You know, he has this strange combination of very masculine and very feminine qualities, and all of it is very kind of proudly redneck, I guess.
My guest is Robert Moore. We're talking about Joe Exotic Tiger King. It's the podcast he hosts over My Dead Body, as well as a piece he ran for New York Magazine. So to give people a sense of the way people are reacting to this whole Joe Exotic story, actor Dax Shepard has said on Twitter, "If I don't get cast as Joe Exotic in the eventual biopic, Hollywood is broken." To which actor Ed Norton replied, "Step aside, pal. You're way too young and buff, and you know it. You know who could probably pull off Maldonado Steele, actually? Wouldn't that be fun?" I think it's meaning himself. Actor Justin Long chimed in, "If Gaffigan doesn't play Bhagwan, Doc Antle, you can sit next to each other at the Oscars." All right, so that's another person that we have to let people know about. So that's Joe. And then there's Doc Antle, who seems to be quite bright.
Yes, Doc Antle is like a smarter, more professional version of Joe. I mean, he runs a similar operation, which is people come, you know, it's his zoo, but also that he lets people play with baby tigers. But they pay a lot more money for it. He's got a much larger facility, and he has a lot more experience. You know, he's worked on TV and movies as an animal handler. So, he's much more slick than Joe, but by some accounts, you know, equally shady, or perhaps, you know, only slightly less shady.
And then the sort of third person we can discuss is Carol Baskin. Now, she says she is an animal rights activist, that she's running a cat sanctuary. What did you find when you started talking to Carol? And how seriously did she take Joe Exotic's hatred of her?
I think she took it pretty seriously. I mean, Carol is a remarkable person and quite a controversial person. Many people have come away from the documentary kind of with a hatred for Carol, which I don't think is entirely well-founded. But, you know, she's someone who ran away from home when she was 15 years old. She got married when she was 17. She met this guy, Don Lewis, who is a sort of a millionaire. when she was walking down the side of the road. As we described in the podcast, he picked her up in his car, gave her a gun to hold on him, and then pulled over at one point and wrapped his hands around her throat and said, I could strangle the life out of you right now. And she kind of looked at him like, okay, you know, go for it. And he didn't. He relaxed his hands and massaged her shoulders. They ended up going to a motel together. So that should give you some sense. And they started having an affair. This should give you some sense of what type of person she is. She's fearless. Like she has a true fearlessness. And in fact, her favorite tagline is, judge me by the enemies I've made. So when this whole thing with Joe Exotic started up, she embraced it in a way. And she really, some people would say she threw fuel on the fire. But more than anything, she refused to back down. So Joe impersonated her, tried to run down her reputation. She sued him for $1 million. Joe changed his name, tried to get out of paying $1 million. And she was relentless. She would not stop pursuing him. And then he hired a hitman to kill her. In fact, two hitmen. And it's still, she didn't back down. She never really hid from him. And to this day, she continues to pursue other people who are also quite dangerous.
Something your podcast makes a little clearer that the series didn't is that Carol started out breeding and selling cats. How did she go from a breeder to a sanctuary owner?
Yeah, that's one of the really fascinating things about this story is that Joe and Carol actually have exactly inverse trajectories. So Joe started out wanting to own a sanctuary and just take in injured and abandoned animals. And over time, he got a little bit more greedy and a little more lax in his morals, and he became a zoo and he started breeding. Carol started out breeding cats, believing that that was the best way to preserve the species. So she had rows and rows and rows of cages. She was breeding all kinds of wild cats, and then over time grew to believe that that was a form of animal abuse. And that was actually a sticking point with her husband, Lewis, who later disappeared, leaving her most of his estate and the land, which later became Big Cat Rescue. So she, over time, has developed this belief, which I agree with her, that it is wrong to have a tiger in a cage, you know, in your backyard. And she's pursuing that politically. She's trying to pass a bill called the Big Cat Public Safety Act, which would ban the private ownership and the cub petting and all of the things that are going on that fuel this industry, which makes places like her sanctuary necessary. She actually wants to run herself out of business, is what she says.
My guest is Robert Moore. We're talking about Joe Exotic Tiger King, the podcast he hosts, as well as all of his information after writing a 10,000-word piece about Joe Exotic, as well as being down there and living on the zoo for a week. If you've seen the show and you want to join the conversation about who might be cast in the inevitable series of Joe Exotic, you could tweet at us at allofitwnyc. We've got Leo's a movie guy tweeted. Michael Shannon should be Joe's former business partner, Jeff Lowe, and Julianne Moore as Carol Baskin. Some interesting.
That's interesting, yeah. I would urge people to please also tag me at Robert Moore, M-O-O-R underscore, and tag at UCP. I think they'd love all these suggestions. I've heard some really great ones Channing Tatum should be playing John Finley, Joe's husband, that John C. Reilly should play Doc Antle. But my great epiphany I had a few months ago is that I think that Margot Robbie should be playing Joe Exotic in a kind of gender switch, Meryl Streep playing a rabbi type of thing. I think she would be perfect for it, and her eyes look just like his eyes. If you look at photos side by side, you can find one on my Twitter feed. It's just striking, the resemblance.
I've got one that says Danny McBride, case closed, as well as Christopher Guest for Joe. That's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I've also heard Sam Rockwell. I think that's a pretty good one. But people seem to be leaning more towards the comedic side of things, which, I mean, it makes a certain kind of sense. Even the documentary in some aspects has a kind of dark comedy aspect to it.
You know, one of the things that I am surprised about, and I'm curious if it was in real life, that as odd as Joe sounds and ridiculous, he seems to be quite charismatic. People were drawn to him. Was that the case? Did you feel that was the case when you were around him?
It actually was. You know, it's funny because your first response, I think everyone's first response seeing Joe, is to kind of laugh at him and to think this person is absurd. But then when you meet him, you know, something that people forget is he's a real person, and he's a person who has suffered a lot of pain in his life. You know, he's a rape survivor. He is someone who was intensely bullied for being gay and was really out and proud in a rural part of Oklahoma. And so as a gay man myself, we kind of bonded over that, and I respected that about him. There's also an aspect to him where he claimed to be rescuing all these animals and to be taking in all of these employees who no one else would hire, people who were addicted to drugs, people who just gotten out of prison. And there was a kind of like an underdog redneck hero quality that he projected. And some people really bought into that. They really believed that there's this kind of anti-elitist appeal to him. And if you fell under his sway, because he was a profound narcissist. He is, I mean, he's still alive. He's a profound narcissist, and he has that narcissist ability to suck you into his universe and his way of thinking. If you allow him to do that, he can look in a certain weird light, like a kind of hero.
My guest is Robert Moore. We're talking about Joe Exotic Tiger King, a podcast he hosts. So I'm, you know, this becomes a fascinating study of. A subculture, this raising of big cats and this keeping of big cats. So that's one part of it that's incredibly interesting. Then there are the character studies of the people, Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin, and later on this fellow Jeff Lowe, who seems like he's a big Vegas high roller, and he's basically kind of steals the zoo from Joe. And then there's the true crime part of this story. There are two crimes that are, well, one's alleged to have happened. That there's an allegation that Carol Baskin may have killed her husband. And my understanding is that the case may have been reopened. Is that what you understand?
Yeah, my understanding is actually that the case was never officially closed, but it just sort of went cold, and they stopped devoting resources to it. But now, because of the intense pressure put on the Tampa PD by this, by this documentary, that they're looking at it again. In fact, I was just on a radio show, a morning radio show in Tampa, and right before I got on the air, someone called in to say they had information about the case. They actually knew this person was their stepfather, and I don't want to say his name, but that this person had confessed to having killed Don, you know, essentially at Carol's behest. I have no idea whether that's true, but they're getting lots and lots of leads like that now. And so we may see some movement on that case, whether or not it's information leading to Carol's arrest or exonerating Carol, because this is still a mystery. But I think we may actually see a break in that case, you know, in the following couple of months.
So that's the one case. And then the other is the it's hard to keep it all straight. The hiring of someone to try to kill Carol. And that is why Joe is in jail. Could you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, so as I explained earlier, Joe impersonated Carol, impersonated her business, tried to run down her reputation. She sued him. He owed her $1 million. He tried to get out of that $1 million. And as that debt continued to weigh on him, he continued to talk about trying to kill Carol. And I heard him do that. A lot of people did. One of his schemes was try to sort of inspire one of his followers to kill Carol. I think that was his game plan for a long time, was just to put the idea in someone's head. That never happened. So then in 2017, he starts having serious talks with Jeff Lowe, who is his business partner, the man who owned the zoo, and a man named Alan Glover, who is Jeff Lowe's right-hand man, about sending Alan to Florida to kill Carol. So he gave Alan $3,000. He gave him a burner phone, took Alan's old phone, sent it up to Las Vegas, where Jeff Lowe was living, so that Jeff could text pictures periodically from Vegas so it would look like Alan was in Vegas. Got Alan a fake ID and sent him to Florida. Now, Alan ultimately never did it. He just sort of went off and got drunk and did a bunch of cocaine. And as he says in the documentary, chickened out. He just didn't actually follow through with it. So then Joe was approached by someone else offering to kill Carol. That person turned out to be an undercover FBI agent. Joe also propositioned that person, offered him money, gave him concrete instructions on how to kill Carol, didn't actually ever give him the money, but apparently the legal threshold crossed the legal threshold for hiring a hitman a second time. So Joe was convicted on two counts of murder for hire and then 17 counts of animal trafficking, animal abuse. All of those things added up together to be a 22-year sentence in federal prison, which he has just begun serving.
My guest is Robert Moore. We're talking about Joe Exotic, Tiger King. You can listen to Robert's podcast about this. Is there something that you found in your reporting that you think's important for people to know, that maybe who've already watched the docuseries, things that were left out? You know, everybody's got to make editorial decisions, but things you think really might add another layer of understanding to Joe or Carol?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. I mean, I've created a Twitter thread. Again, it's at Robert Moore, M-O-O-R underscore. People can see it's gone absolutely viral because there's a lot of stuff they left out, and I don't fault them for that. You know, you've only got so much time, and this story is so kaleidoscopically strange. You know, I call it fractal weirdness. It's like you just keep zooming in, and it just gets weirder and weirder. I don't blame them for leaving things out, but there's a couple of little things and a couple of big things. The little things, Joe did not sing those country songs. You know, there's a couple of shots in the film that are very misleading in the documentary. There's one that's quite significant where they show Travis saying, "This is my last cigarette. This will be my last cigarette on Earth," which implies that he'd maybe killed himself on purpose. I don't think there's any evidence to show that. I think that death was an accident. And then the big thing is that people seem to have come away from this documentary believing that Joe was framed, that Joe is actually innocent. And as I post on my Twitter feed, there are transcripts, which I heard during the trial. I heard these phone calls where Joe says, "Look, me and Jeff sent Alan down to Florida to kill Carol. And if he gets caught red-handed, we'll just say we fired the bleep and he went off the deep end." I mean, he essentially confesses to the crime on tape in this secretly recorded phone call. That I cannot see any world in which Joe is innocent of this crime. And I've heard rumblings that people are starting GoFundMes and trying to, you know, hashtag free the Tiger King. I really implore people to cut that out. It's absurd. If that's what people have come away from this documentary believing, they have been misled.
So the podcast is reportedly being adapted into a limited series by Kate McKinnon. What can you tell us about the plan for that?
It's still early days. You know, we don't have a showrunner yet. We're just trying to figure out the shape of it, how it's going to go forward. So it's a little too early to say. Like, we're still kind of playing the casting game and trying to get our team together. But everyone's very excited. Again, it's Universal Content Productions, so sort of the TV arm of Universal Studios. So tweet at me or tweet at UCP with all your suggestions. We're really excited about it.
We've got someone agrees with me, Jared Leto, playing Joe.
Ooh, yeah, I've also heard James Franco. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys seem to have a taste for these kinds of roles. That could work. One person said Brad Pitt to me, and I thought, my God, Joe would just love that.
This is mine. And you know, I'm going to say for Carol, and this might be controversial, but she's actually such a gifted actress, I think, Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, so that's Kate McKinnon's role in all this. Is Kate McKinnon will
she's
be gonna
play
Carol?
Carol?
That's the role we set. Yeah, that's actually one role that we have.
Wow, that was a mic drop. I don't know if I can ask you any more questions after hearing that. Wow, you just blew my mind. And we've been talking about Joe Exotic for 25 minutes, so that means something. My guest has been Robert Moore. Check out his podcast, Joe Exotic, Tiger King. Hey, Robert, thank you for sharing all your reporting on this.
Thanks so much, Allison. This is fun.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.